How is it that you can tell that a group of individuals are part of the same human biological family? I mean, there's groupings here today. I know some of you are related. Some of you are members of the same family, but some of you are just sitting in the same pew with one another. Maybe you look like one another, but you're not really related. So how is it that you can tell that someone is related? Someone's part of the same human biological family? I would say two different ways. One touches on the level of identity, and one touches on the level of action. First, the level of identity. This is something that's objective, measurable. I could do DNA tests on the whole congregation today, and I'd be able to tell who is related, who's part of the same family. It's a biological identity. Even that word biology, it has the word life in it, bio. And so there's a objective shared life between members of the same human biological family. It's in your genes, it's in your DNA. If I had a mother and a father and I tested their DNA and then tested their children, surprise, these are your biological children. I can see it by the chromosomes that were passed down, that literally are the makeup of the children. They share this same genetic material, this same biology, this same DNA. It's so deep. Even if we dug up the bones of our family members, we'd see, I'm a descendant of these people. It's my identity. It's something that's objective and measurable, and it actually can't be lost. Even if I never met my family members, even if I disowned my family, I can't hide the fact that in my genes, in my DNA, in my deepest self, that I share something with these members. They're more than friends. They're more than acquaintances. There's someone I actually share a life and identity with. But then from there, I think there's another level. There's a level of action. I don't just look like my family members. I don't just share genes with them. I have a common action with my family members too. That there's a way that we operate, a way that we act. I had friends of mine, actually a dear mentor of mine, their last name is Burcham. And my mentor, he would always say when they were going into a party or some kind of big gathering, he'd gather his kids and he'd say, remember kids, we're Burchams. And we act in a certain way. The way that we are joined together in our identity, in our shared life, it leads us to act in a certain way. Now, it doesn't mean that we always act identically to one another. We always do the exact same thing. But it means that there's a harmony of our action. You might have gifts and talents and ways that you act differently than your siblings, than your parents, than your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. But there's a harmony of action, a way that these actions don't contradict one another. They are in unison with one another, even if they look a bit different. Our actions move in a certain direction. And there are things that are out of bounds for our family actions. There are things that are harmonious and still unifying, but there are things that are disharmonious and disunifying as well. Two levels, identity and action. And this is with our human, our biological, our natural families. But the same principles, I think, extend to our supernatural family, our spiritual family, Holy Mother Church. Each member in Holy Mother Church shares these two levels as well. There's a common identity among us, a common bio, a common life that's shared in every member of the body of Christ. It doesn't come to us through our natural birth like our first identity came. It comes to us through our second birth, our baptism. When we are born into the body of Christ, our spiritual family, we're given a new identity. We're given a new belonging. And it's as deep as my DNA. It's like a spiritual DNA. When I'm baptized, and then again when I'm confirmed in the Holy Spirit, my soul begins to bear a new reality. It's like it was stamped with some seal that can never be removed. Just like I can disown my family, but I still share the same genes as them. I can leave the church, I can disown the family of God, but still I bear a seal that unites me to the body of Christ, the Holy Mother Church. It's stamped on me in a way that it can't be removed. It's a sharing in the very life of Christ. And I can't get rid of this, try as I might. It's an identifiable part of me. But then there's an action part of me too in the body of Christ, Holy Mother Church. It flows from my identity. My identity as a member of Christ, a member of the household, the family of God, from that flows an action. It flows a mission. And the mission, again, it might look a little different, but still it's harmonious. It doesn't contradict. It still moves us in a common direction with a common purpose. And we see this in the beautiful manifestation of the Holy Spirit active in each member of the church. The Holy Spirit binds us together. It's a unifying force, but it's not just a replication of action. It's actually manifold. Your gifts, my gifts, the gifts of the person next to you, whether you're related to them or not, they look a little different, but still they're united in this harmonious life of our spiritual family. They lead us forward. One might have healing, one might have prophecy, one might have teaching, one might have admonishing, one might have a gift different than another, but still they're unified in a harmonious way. And each one is derived from our shared identity as members of God, as bearers of His divine life. My natural human life, it's been transformed by the divine life of God. And if you want proof of this, we can just look at the readings in our celebration today. First, that gospel reading, Jesus comes to those apostles gathered in the upper room. He's risen from the dead, and the first thing he wants to do is to share his resurrected life with them. He says, "Peace be with you. Shalom." And then he breathes on them. The breath of God coming down on his disciples, his friends. And I imagine when they received that breath of the Messiah, of Jesus resurrected, their lives were changed. They took on that new identity as members of his body. They received his spirit. They received his very life. His breath changed them. It unified them. And then eventually they're sent forth to manifest this life, this gift of His Spirit in varied ways that are unified and harmonious. St. Paul talks about this to the Corinthians, that they received the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God who produces all of the different kinds of spiritual gifts and the different forms of service and the different workings. The same identity that we receive as members of the household of God moves us forward to express it in varied and different ways, but in harmony. You know the difference between disharmony and harmony. It's easy to detect. If we played some disharmonious chords on the piano, that sounds pretty terrible. But when you play notes that are in harmony with one another, even though they're different, they have a beauty to them. And this is an image that God gives us in the church, that St. Paul gives us in that analogy of the body. Though many parts, one body, different actions, different processes, the heart operates differently than the liver, but they operate together in harmony, bringing life to the body. So, brothers and sisters, I invite you as one spiritual body today, as one church, one family and household of God, let's remind ourselves we share the same identity. We've been given a new nature, a divine nature that unifies us in God. But as we move forward from here, each of us shares in the mission of God that is manifold. You'll do things differently than me, and I'll do things differently than you, but each of us working together in this same action, the same mission that moves us forward. So let's call down the Holy Spirit today. Renew us, Holy Spirit. Remind us who we are so that we would be sent forth to breathe your Spirit on the world.